This morning, we return to the Gospel of Mark, reading from the 10th chapter, beginning in verse 35. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And Jesus said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them. And their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Humanity came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." May God bless the reading and the hearing of these words. Amen. Hear these words again, and let them speak to you. Jesus called the disciples and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant." Jesus may not have coined the term servant leader, but that's exactly what he proposes as the model for those who follow his ways and teachings. And that model applies to us today, whether you are the president and CEO of a major corporation, a mid-level manager, a politician, a parent, a pastor, a member of any organization, or simply a human being. In many and various ways, we find ourselves in positions of leadership. And don't forget, that includes being the leader of our own personal lives. You are the leader of yourself. There are several things at issue here. One of the themes that ties in closely with servant leadership deals with the difference between being in a position of authority and the leadership style of being authoritarian. And knowing the difference is crucial. I've mentioned this before, but back when I attended seminary, we spent a good deal of time on this topic because we were informed it would greatly impact our ministry as a pastor of a congregation. As pastors in training, we were warned to beware the temptation of power and control, as defined as an authoritarian relationship with the congregation. Yet on the flip side of that, we were also cautioned to not shy away from the inherent authority that comes with the position and responsibilities of a pastor and preacher. And many of us were a bit confused because we weren't really clear on the actual distinction between having authority and being authoritarian. After all, many of us were part of the anti-authority generation in the 1960s and 70s. But as it turns out, if persons who are in positions of authority do not exercise that responsibility as a leader, then they will become ineffective at best to potentially disruptive. Now, let me explain by applying this to the task of parenting. And while I realize I have no personal experience in this regard, it is certainly something I have studied and have witnessed through my years in youth ministry. The position, role, and responsibilities of being a parent comes with an inherent authority, which, if not exercised, may likely lead to later problems with that child. And that's above the usual issues in childhood. And family counselors rightly suggest that the key, however, is to not become authoritarian. As in transforming a parent's rightly given authority into a weapon of power and control to the point of some kind of totalitarian domination over their child. Now, in addition to parents, pastors, and church leaders, this dynamic can and should be applied to anyone in a position of authority, including educators, those in the business world, and of course, politicians. This difference between having authority and being authoritarian is wonderfully explained in the book Saving Jesus from Those Who Are Right. I love that title. The author, feminist theologian Carter Hayward, while a professor of theology at the Episcopal Divinity School in Cambridge, Massachusetts, writes, "Authority, the power to authorize, or the ability to empower, can be held and bestowed in just and unjust ways. Authority is a morally neutral concept, neither good nor evil in itself. By contrast, authoritarianism, the hoarding of authority as power over others, is always spiritually problematic. The biblical term used for this hierarchical, authoritarian style of leadership, which we heard about in both scripture passages this morning, is lording it over others. The Old Testament reading from the book of Nehemiah reveals that as a governor, he refused to lord it over the people like the previous governors did. For they laid heavy burdens upon the people and took from them food and wine and money. That's the pyramid structure I talked about last Sunday, where gratitude was expected from those lower down, usually in the form of taxes and goods. We're told that even the servants of these authoritarian governors lorded it over the people. And examples of this kind of governing can be found in many countries today, wherever people are led by authoritarian dictators or heavy-handed politicians. And yes, I will take the risk of veering into politics enough to say that I think some politicians at our national and state levels confuse, perhaps intentionally, the inherent authority of their elected positions with being authoritarian, wanting to hoard authority as power in order to lord it over others. And sadly, there is no better example of authoritarian abuse in religious circles than when it is used by those who think they possess the power and control to dictate and demand that others think, behave, believe, and interpret the scriptures the same way they do. So yes, accusations of lording it over others can indeed be leveled at certain religious organizations, their leaders, and their practices. And as an example, is not the continued refusal to ordain women into church leadership roles within certain faith traditions, along with the desire to control decisions concerning women's health issues, including birth control, nothing less than age-old attempts to lord it over women? Well, those of us on the progressive end of the theological spectrum, devoted to issues of social justice and equality, often find ourselves feeling called to speak truth to power, to others in positions of authority within our community and certainly within our denominations. And in today's gospel reading from Mark 10, Jesus makes reference to lording it over others in relation to how the Gentiles govern their people. And Jesus immediately follows this statement by commanding the disciples, "But it shall not be so among you." For it seems that brothers James and John had ambitious and prideful issues of power and control of their own. They had the gall to ask Jesus to grant them anything they asked. But like a wise parent responding to a child, Jesus, before saying yes, first asks, "What do you want me to do for you?" The response? "Oh, nothing less than to let us sit at your right and left hand in your glory." We see that it is nothing new to want to move up the ladder and scale of importance and influence, to be closest to those with the most power and control. And many good religious folks, including many pastors, seem to have forgotten the core of Jesus' ministry, to serve, not to be served. In other words, to be a servant leader. Now, I found a website this week, the Robert K. Greenleaf Center for Servant Leadership. And it includes the following on their homepage. While servant leadership is a timeless concept, the phrase servant leadership was coined by Robert K. Greenleaf in The Servant as Leader, an essay that he first published in 1970. And in that essay, Greenleaf said, "The servant leader is servant first. It begins with the natural feeling that one wants to serve first. Then conscious choice brings one to aspire to lead. That person is sharply different from the one who is leader first, perhaps because of the need to assuage an unusual power drive or to acquire material possessions. The leader first and the servant first are two extreme types. Between them, there are shadings and blends that are part of the infinite variety of human nature. And the difference manifests itself in the care taken by the servant first to make sure that other people's highest priority needs are being served. And the best test, and difficult to administer, is do those served grow as persons? Do they, while being served, become healthier, wiser, freer, more autonomous, more likely themselves to become servants? And what is the effect on the least privileged in society? Will they benefit, or at least not be further deprived? A servant leader focuses primarily on the growth and the well-being of people and the communities to which they belong, and that would include the church. And while traditional leadership generally involves the accumulation and exercise of power by one at the top of the pyramid, servant leadership is different. Servant leadership shares power, puts the needs of others first, and helps people develop and perform as highly as possible. Well, to close, and for those of us who love lists, I found the following on the Skip Pritchard Leadership Insights website, an article entitled 9 Qualities of the Servant Leader, and it provides this list. Values diverse opinions. Cultivates a culture of trust, develops other leaders, helps people with life issues, not just work issues, encourages, sells instead of tells, thinks you, not me, thinks long term, and acts with humility. I'd like to challenge you to reflect this week upon your own leadership style and the inherent authority you have in your life, in your home, at work, in the various organizations to which you are involved, including the church, in your relationships with others, and even how you lead yourself. I've been focusing on that a lot lately in my role as pastor of this congregation. And I find the list above to be a good measuring stick. And yes, it's humbling, for there is always room for improvements. So it is my prayer that God will show us ways to become more effective leaders, to focus on serving first, rather than simply being served. And in doing so, remember Carter Hayward's definition of authority as the ability to empower others. May God help us to become servant leaders. Amen.